In a dark world filled with deceit, one united voice is crying out. Revealing the truth of God's word. It's time to expose the hidden truth and unravel the lies. While we're living in Satan's little season, with Sister Crystal and Brother Phil.
Welcome to Living in Satan's Little Season Show. We're your hosts, Sister Crystal.
And Brother Phil, the topic today.
A year in review.
A year in review. We're going to go over, the show's been on a year now.
We're going to look back.
Isn't that amazing? We've been on for one full year now. From April to April now, we're back to a whole year. It's hard to believe. The year's gone by pretty fast now. Yeah, so many things have happened. That's why we want to go in this show. Talk about all the stuff that have transpired in this whole year.
The changes that we've made mentally, spiritually, that have really just, God has guided us to certain truths that make a whole lot more sense now than when we started. We did not know what we were going to uncover, or God was going to reveal, I guess you could say, to us.
Well, definitely, we didn't really know what to expect. Mm-mm. You know, I felt like God calling me to do a radio show. Originally, it was not going to be my wife and I.
Well, it was amazing. When you said, I think I need to do a podcast, and I went, that sounds great. That's awesome. And I was like, this is an awesome idea. You should have done this a long time ago, but it never dawned on me that it's something you could do. I mean, you've been preaching here in our church for years.
Yeah, 30 years now, essentially, over 30 years. I never really got into the whole high-tech stuff, you know?
Well, I think you're also thinking, what else does God want to do with my life? How else can he use me? And how is that going to benefit other people and his kingdom? And we did not know how hungry people have been for the truth.
Well, and like I say, I didn't have all the things figured out. I realized that when I started, that it's like, I thought, you know, okay, I believed that we were, at the time when I started, I believed that we were in Satan's Little Season. As a matter of fact, the name of the show, and maybe I haven't really explained this in any other show, but the reason why I called it Living in Satan's Little Season is Living is a corruption of the word living. And now, if you've noticed now, our whole living, I mean, has been corrupted by the satanic forces. Right. I mean, it's obvious. And that's the reason for the name that I called it. I'm like, this is why the name of the show is called Living.
Right.
It's a corruption of actually the word living. So we're living for the Lord. We're not living for the Lord because that's a corruption of living.
Right.
What the satanic forces have done, it's so sad. He's corrupted the way we're living now.
Well,
yeah,
he's not only corrupted the word of God, he's corrupted inside the church. He's corrupted the way Christians are received in the world and the truth of his word and how we are able to share it. I mean, you try to share a truth and people are already convinced of another deception that has been perpetrated in the church for ever since before we were born, you know, and it's been a hard line to kind of waken people up. And we alone can't awaken people. We can just share the truth and allow the Holy Spirit to use that truth to help people see the truth of God.
Yeah, that's why my philosophy is I don't really promote this show at all, because I figured that, listen, the Lord, I mean, a lot of people say, click, like, and subscribe, and all this other nonsense that they do with all these, you know, YouTube channels. Our biggest audience now is on YouTube. When I started the show, believe it or not, I just thought, well, I'll do a podcast. And so I went on the podcast streams, and the people were, you know, clamoring, you know, can you put it on YouTube? I'm like, it's just audio. It's not really video. Now, maybe I'll do a video part. Maybe we'll do some videos and put them on YouTube as well. But I really wasn't interested in that. I just wanted to kind of get the message out there. I'm not really interested in being some YouTube star or anything like that. I just, hey, let's just get some message out. And then, so we put it on YouTube. And a little bit later. And it turned out that's now the most, we get about about three quarters of our audience now are listening to it on YouTube. Believe it or not, that we get the most amount of traction now on YouTube. And it's just basically my audio show that I record, and then we have to convert it over to video and put like a logo on there and all that. That's all we did. And now it seems like most of the people that are listening to the show are listening to it on YouTube now.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I think we didn't quite estimate the need for our show. I mean, I think there were some people who we might have known before. But just by putting it out, we awakened to some people already awakened to it, and they were eager to find it. But we hear on a regular basis how many people are glad that they've come across our Facebook page and that we're there to kind of help encourage anyone who feels alone that you're not alone, and
right.
that we are here alongside you, living in this world, obediently and faithfully, trusting the Word of God to guide us as we live in this journey and persevering through all the craziness this world is throwing at us.
Well, and then, of course, after we started the show, you know, we decided, you know, we record like four episodes and we'll put them out there. That was that first week. The beginning of April. You know, April, we just, the first week in April is when we started the show.
Well, and so you had, oh, God's calling me to do this. I'm like, okay, great, good for you. And then it was going to be you and someone else, and that fell through almost immediately. But I did the first test run. I'm like, that's kind of cool. And then it just seemed like God's like, no, it's not a test run, it's going to be the two of you. And it just seemed perfectly. I guess we've been told through messages that we've got good chemistry, and partially because of the fact that we're a little bit opposite.
Well, like I say, I'm more of the analytical, a studious kind, you know, I'm, you know, and my wife is more of just like, I figured if I can't explain it to my wife and get her to understand what I'm trying to teach, you guys aren't going to understand either. So, you know, she's like my soundboard. I do the research, I do studying of God's word, and then I try to explain it to her to see if she can understand it.
Well, I'm more of the emotional, passionate, really, we both have passion for the Lord, but the passion I have is also for people and sharing the truth to God that God has revealed, and loving people. And I think too often we don't hear that in messages being taught. Loving one another is what we were called to do. It's what Jesus did. He loved others, even his enemies. And, you know, we need to be loving each other with the truth and encouraging everyone to keep living for God in this deceitful age that we're living in. To not give up. Keep going. Keep persevering. You're not alone. God's word is live and active, and he wants us to seek him diligently. And so we're here trying to encourage you to come along this journey. Like, not that we are parents. We have 8 children. But we're not saying you're our children, but kind of come along with us because we're used to guiding other people. But come along with us as we learn together. That's really what we've been doing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an eternal student. I'm still, matter of fact, I did some prep. When I prep for a show, I don't always know what I'm going to find. Because we've been lied to about so much. And, you know, in the deep research I'm doing now, I'm trying to go over some interesting things I learned. I learn something every time. I mean, you know, I've been studying God's word. Of course, I'm going to deep dive researches in words and stuff like this, trying to figure out what all this stuff's going on. And things surprise me that I come across, things I thought I knew about God's word, and, you know, all the time. So I'm learning, and just like you guys, you know, sometimes I don't have everything right, and there's been times during this year that I've had to come on the mic again.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I attribute all this to my wife. See, my wife makes sure to keep me humble because she calls me out on anything that I do wrong. Isn't that right, honey?
Well, yeah. I mean, I try to encourage him to, you know, stay humble. We have 8 children, and humility isn't one of our son's strong suits. So, but we all have that issue. We tend to all have issues with that. But that's one area that if we just keep growing in our faith and maturity, we become more of what God wants us to be. as we grow in his faith and knowledge of his word. And that's true essence to any person who's been alive. They aren't the same person at 50 that they were maybe at 20.
Right.
You know, so you really mature, and you're not the same person when you married your spouse, or the same. I'm not the same mother with my eighth child as I was with my first child. I changed through the years.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're on a journey, and, of course, we got to stay humble.
Mm-hmm.
That's the really key. I haven't really pushed this very much, but humility is a key thing. And if, you know, I'm learning all the time, and I'm just sharing with you what I'm learning on the research I'm doing in the Bible, focusing on what a lot of these word studies and what we're learning about in God's Word, okay? So, you know, I don't have it all figured out. I wish I did. And as a matter of fact, I get a lot of people contact me that love the show, and they reach out to me, and we appreciate everyone that tries to reach out to
yes.
us. We really do. We love you guys, and we love the fact is that what we're doing here, because we're just volunteering our time here. We're not making any money off this show. This show is a money loser for us. We don't care about money.
No.
We don't care about worldly mammon, you know, like a lot of these preachers care about, okay?
Right.
What we care about is getting God's word out there to the masses, and I figured if we just put a show out there and have it available to the world, guess what? The Holy Spirit will guide and lead people there.
And he has.
And also word of mouth with you guys. And if you guys just share, hey, you know, you might want to listen to this show. You might get something out of this. You know, now we have like almost 50 hours worth of content on there now. So it, obviously, you know, with 50 hours worth of content, it's a little bit hard for people to binge listen to the whole show. But, you know, this is what you have to do. If somebody's interested in learning about this topic, well, they're going to put in the time to do it.
Well, what I like about our show is that it goes to an array of topics that you do not necessarily find anywhere else. I'm talking about things that your everyday average minister would not talk about, some of these things. And it's not that we're trying to be different. It's that I think there's details in verses in Scripture that should be talked about, should be researched, should be shared and studied. And a lot of those, some of them, they don't fit into their doctrines or theologies, and so they don't talk about them. They don't discuss them, because then they have other verses that they can't explain, or they don't want to explain because they're stuck on a certain path or agenda that they want to stick to. And I love the fact that we have not ever really had, we're not under a doctrine or agenda that we have to follow. We can just be free to trust and teach the word of God in truth. And I think that's beautiful, because we're not beholden to anyone but to God.
I'm just a seeker of truth like everybody else. I want to know what's really going on. I'm like you guys, I'm sick and tired of being lied to about everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically our whole, what we've learned now is basically we can't really trust anything that we're really told. I wish that, you know, we could at face value just, okay, I believe that to be true. Now we got to question every single thing. And it's hard to have to, because there's things you believe that you realize, oh, wait a minute, why do I believe that way? Is it because I was taught that, or is that something I have observed myself?
Is that an actual truth in God's word, or is it something that I was taught early on in my immaturity of my faith, because that's what was taught to all Christians, and so we had to really come out of being programmed. I mean, you're looking at a couple who's been in the church most of our lives, and yet there were theologies that we had to say, okay, that's not for us. And, you know, that belief is not something, you know, we kind of maybe had already been distancing ourselves from some of those, but it wasn't sure in our minds where God was leading us. I mean, we both knew of the passage of Scripture talked about New Earth, and to what degree that was going to be revealed, and you know, our future, we didn't know. But honestly, throughout all of this last year and everything we've done shows on and we've discussed, I have such a greater peace in my heart, in my life, over what God is doing right now and is going to continue to do and has already done. And I feel like there's a culmination, and even been reading through Exodus and how God did that with Moses. It was a culmination he did in preparing Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And I think that was something that I see a kind of a glimpse in our life. It's a culmination he's been working on so we could do this show.
Yeah, I'm trying to lead everybody out of the Egypt that we're in right now. Yeah. Essentially the deceptive evil Egypt that we're living in now to the promised land. That's what, essentially that's what I'm doing right now. I don't consider myself to be a Moses character because I didn't ask for any of this, just like Moses didn't ask for, oh, I want to lead all your people out. No, God had called me to do this, and I'm just leading people out on a spiritual level out of this deception, this evil Egypt that we've been indoctrinated with, and that's kind of, you know, basically our life story. But it wasn't easy because the first week, get this, okay, there's so many things that have happened in this year. That, I mean, we won't really be able to get into everything, but the first week that after I put the show out there, I put the first four episodes out there, okay, Saturday rolls around, that's when we have church on Saturday night.
Right.
Church is all there, waiting to hear, you know, that's Easter. Easter weekend, my resurrection service that we were going to have, literally 30 minutes before the service was to start, I couldn't speak. My voice went out.
It wasn't sore throat or nothing. It was just down to a faint whisper.
Yeah, I could like only whisper. I couldn't even talk, hardly at all. I can barely get anything out. I was like this, and I was like, I didn't know what was going on. And here I was, you know, we had the biggest crowd for that service that we've had in a long time. What happens? My voice just goes out. Half hour before the service. So here I'm, when I get up and I'm like telling everybody, listen, there's something wrong with me. I don't know. I've never in all the time. I haven't missed a preaching every a week.
No.
And I don't know how many years. Literally, I don't take a week off of preaching ever. In years, I've never taken a week off.
Right.
Because I don't take vacations. If you take a vacation, it's like a midweek vacation. It's like a 3-4 days in the middle of the week, and I'm back for the next week to get the sermon again. This is the first time ever that I've ever had this problem. I couldn't talk. I had like laryngitis. And it wasn't, and a half hour before, there was absolutely nothing wrong with me. I don't know what happened. It's almost like somebody was like, some spiritual force was like restricting my airways and my voice box so I couldn't talk.
Well, you were breathing, but you weren't able to.
I wasn't able to talk.
Any sound out. It was like he was muted to a whisper amount that you were speaking. But you did give a sermon, but you shortened it. I mean, it was a short sermon.
Yeah, and my son had to read some of the scripture I was going to use because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't speak. I couldn't even hardly do anything. And so,
you were reserving.
It was literally the worst sermon I've ever given in my life because I couldn't really hardly talk.
Well, you were reserving your words. You were using as much strength as you had to say what you had to say about the verses and not read the verses. So it was a way of saving you from having to use your voice too much. But even then, it was a shortened service. But it wasn't a bad service.
Well, it wasn't bad. I just couldn't explain it. I knew right away. I'm like, there's no other explanation than the satanic forces are attacking me somehow. Mm-hmm. See, we don't always see what's going on behind the scenes. You know, I just put this show out there, and I'm just gonna put the show out there. And I think the spiritual forces were ticked off that I was gonna do this show, and they did it because you know what? After the service was all over, and I'm like, half hour after the service was over. I'm not kidding you. My voice came back.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing. I'm only laughing because...
Literally, I'm not kidding you. There is no other explanation.
Well, because we know that in and of itself was a way of the enemy of silencing you in a verbal account. Now, granted, I think the enemy can do that in other ways by permanently silencing people. But I think it was a little like kind of a shot over the bow, like, you know, you are going to go down this journey. We're going to show you.
But here's the thing. I knew based on that, I was on the right track.
Right.
See, this is what happens. When you are doing the right thing, you're going to run into obstacles like this all the time. So I knew right away, I'm like, oh boy, this means I got to stick with this show. This means this show, I'm ticking somebody off.
It's not,
it's
not necessarily human enemies, but spiritual enemies. Because they know the power that God has and will have through you and the words you're going to speak and the words we are sharing with the verses and the clarity of those verses than the truth, that those spirits don't want that out there. But God does. So God is greater, so he made a way, and you persevered.
So, yeah, that was the weirdest thing. First week, so I knew I was on the right track with this show. From the week one, I never really told anybody this because, you know, of course, people in the church understood what was going on. But I never explained that, hey, I just came up with this podcast, this radio show. I just published it this week, first four shows. And all of a sudden now I was just either, maybe the Lord did it to prove, listen, I'm going to do this to give you a sign to stick with this show.
Well, I don't know for whatever reason.
That was really weird. But it was like half hour after the service is over, my voice is totally fine.
Right.
It was like 1 hour it was out and then it was back after the hour was up. It was,
well, for whatever reason, it didn't deter us from continuing on this journey. So, I don't know if that was meant to, but we are some pretty strong, and not strong in our own strength, no. Strong in the Lord's strength, but we are determined, I'm going to say strong-willed, but we are persevering through a lot and have persevered through a lot of things, and we don't give up easily.
We even had a tough year on our marriage, didn't we? I think, literally, I'm not kidding. This has been the hardest year. And this is a strange thing. It's really nothing other than this show can explain why we had such a difficult marriage. Well, we were fighting a lot. We were just struggling.
Well, towards the end of last year, we had celebrated 29 years. And I don't know if something had come up in my mind that was making me feel... I was feeling for a while... And I know people can understand this, but you feel a little lost. And even though we were doing the show, I wasn't feeling lost in my faith. I was feeling lost in what is God going to do? Like, how is he, what is he going to do in the future? I was feeling like 29 years, yeah, this is all we have to show? I mean, I just was feeling like, I was feeling like the world was saying, you haven't achieved anything. You're little. There's nothing you have really done that you should be proud of, or that that whole thing thinking, what have I accomplished? You know, 29 years of being married and having 8 kids and persevering through so many trials, ups and downs and valleys and mountaintops and all of these things. But God revealed to me something. I was in the kitchen, and this was before that. So this was like in the fall. And I heard very clearly, I was wondering, like, you know, God, what are you going to have for us? You know, I want my own house, or I want, kind of, I was saying, I want my own way. And God was saying, no, I want you to take care of my house. I want you to do it my way. And it was really hard. Yeah. I mean, I needed to hear it. And I knew what that was great. But then a few months later, I was like, again, we joked about if we could see ourselves as a character in the Bible. I said I can totally relate to Paul, to Peter. I'm a Peter all the way. I'm, you know, zealous and excited, and then I'm like, the waves, Lord, the waves, and I'm sinking, and, you know, get behind me, Satan, kind of, you know. I really can totally understand Peter, and I see him as being, he's grown in his faith throughout the New Testament, and that's kind of how I felt. But God revealed again that he has our future well in hand. He knows the plan and the purposes he has for us. And I don't have to fear. I don't have to feel like it's all on me. God has been working a great work in our marriage. It's going on 30 years. And I'm so grateful. I think that kind of gets out of our minds a little bit, our gratefulness and our thankfulness for what God has done and is going to continue to do. And I believe he's going to do a great and mighty thing in everyone's lives who love him and know his and cling to his truth and know him on a personal level. He wants to do great and mighty things through all of us and to trust him with everything we have.
Well, I mean, we just went through a tough year. Would you say this would be the hardest year in our marriage?
It was a hard one.
It was the hard, in my opinion, it was the hardest one.
It was a hard, well, I don't know if it was the hardest because we've had some other hard years, but. There was no death this year. Death years are kind
of
hard.
Well, okay, 2016 when we lost one of our children.
2017
to death.
Yes.
That was a difficult year too.
2018.
But as in, like, my relationship with my wife here is vitally, because she's got my back, and so I feel like I could take on the world as long as she's got my back, so she can cover me in that front.
But he was feeling there was going to be a knife in his back.
But I was like, we were getting to a point where, wait a minute, no. Am I going to be able to have a knife on my back when I'm trying to fight the world? This ain't good.
No, I was just, I think even in my moods were a little, you know, and I'm sure some of the female listeners can understand that. But as you go through seasons of your life, you have high moods and low moods. And there was a time that I felt kind of low. And I think that was probably when the weakness that we feel in times of our life, that's when the enemy comes in.
Well, also, it's winter time. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of snow this year. I mean, it was like a record snowfall year. And so, yeah, it was, there's a lot of depressing things that happen. I mean, literally, we've had so much, I mean, going on. But, and then, of course, one of the, another main thing has happened is when I started the show, I, you know, of course, the first main thing I had to change of my views was is when the Gog Magog War was. Right. And so once I realized, wait a minute now, just the way this is described here, this is being described as a war that's well into our past here. And this is the last thing that happens at the end of Satan's little season.
Well, the thing that you had, you again, you love the Word of God and you research it to like the finest, all the way to the last sentence and period, to every passage of scripture, and you dissect it, and you really have to look at what the word means and what the context is, and look at other passages of scripture, other versions of the Bible, and you really just labor over the studying of God's word, which is beautiful. I have to say that, but you struggle when certain things are mentioned and you don't understand why they're mentioned, and so you pray about it, you seek the Lord. And that's really something that you were understanding was not maybe in the time frame you thought it was.
Well, I thought it was like, you know, of course, in our future. But then you study Ezekiel and then people are saying there's two Magog Magog wars. I'm like, the Bible would say something about two wars. And now it seems like there's one war referenced in Revelation that after the 1,000 years is finished is this when this Gog Magog war takes place. Then you read the description of this war in Ezekiel, and with a fine-tooth comb, you just read the Word of God. It's in our past. It's no denying that war is in our past. So this kind of blew my mind, because I'm like, okay, that means we most likely are beyond Satan's little season now. Because this war is before the advent of gunpowder, that we have to be beyond that now.
Well, it wasn't just that, but it was a culmination of several events that you had to rectify in your mind, that if this was something that wasn't for us and wasn't meant for us, but we have to let go of, and it's probably already in our past and has happened, then we have to just understand, why are we in this mindset? Almost like we are conditioned to think we're so important, we're egocentric so much that we think all this stuff has to happen in our time frame. And that's not the case. We can read God's word and glean things out of it, but not have to have every detail be in our generation that we're alive in and our time frame. And so you looked at that and you realized that a lot of these events were in our past.
Bible gives us descriptions, and I think the Bible does that for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us enough information that we don't have to rely upon history, we don't have to rely upon all the fake science, we don't have to rely upon the fake whatever or that we're told is what happened. No, we now know, I think God's a wise God. He's gonna not let have us. He's gonna. He says his word is gonna be preserved.
Right.
Right. So we know that his word's preserved. All these other words ain't gonna be guaranteed. They're gonna be preserved. It's just God's word's gonna be preserved.
And even so, God's word at times has been corrupted.
Well, no. But see, he's always had. And see, what everybody's trying to veer us off of is God's preserved word, and that's when I realized, no, God's. If you're using God's preserved word, not the corrupted word that the satanic forces wants to use, then you're going to come to different conclusions.
That's what I'm saying, is there's corruption, and there's two templates, you could say, of God's word. And one of the templates has been corrupted, and one has not. But a lot of people are caught up in, you know, what's being taught in churches, and that all these things have to be in our time frame because it's just been pushed that way. I don't know why else it has been that through it just all the years that we've been alive, a lot of these things have been pushed and making people think this is what's next. Well, if the enemy can do that, and churches can push people into thinking, you have to wait for this. This is going to happen, then this is going to happen. Then everyone is just waiting for what? Nothing? If it's already happened? So it'd be like you being told someone was going to come to your house and visit you. But guess what? They came to your house a long time ago, and you didn't live there.
Well, and then after I got this, and so then I thought, well, where exactly are we at on the timeline now? See, right. This kind of blew my mind because I thought we were, you know, the Gog Magog War was kind of like the grand finale of everything. And when I realized, okay, well, wait a minute now, this seems to be a past war. So, and that got me scratching my head going, well, then where exactly are we on the timeline? Mm-hmm. See, what the Satanic forces have done, this is what I figured out through this year, they don't want us to know when we're living.
Right.
See, if you don't know when you're living, then you could be, it's like you're a ship without a sail. They could push you along anywhere they want you to go. And this is the key with knowing where you're at on the timeline. This is why I think it's vitally important for every believer.
Right.
To get the message out there of where we're at on the timeline. Because the Satanic forces have lied to us about where we're at on the timeline. And I think it's just so that if we don't know where we're at and we're being lied to and we believe we're somewhere else, then they can push us around and they can lie to us about anything.
Right.
And this is when I got to scratching my head like, well, okay, if the Gog Magog War is over, we must be after the Gog Magog War, but before the Great White Throne Judgment. And that's kind of I got to thinking because, well, you know, I guess the Great White Throne Judgment hasn't happened yet. That's kind of my thinking at first. Then, as I was thinking about this for a little while, I'm like, well, that really doesn't make any sense. Great White Throne Judgment is all we got left. The Gog Magog War is past. We're just living in the end of Satan's little season. So I was getting a little bit confused, and I was like, okay, something's not adding up.
So you were digesting the Word of God and breaking it up.
Yeah, something wasn't adding up, and I didn't know what it was exactly.
Were you getting heartburn on the Word of God?
Well, I got to thinking about it. I'm like, something's not making sense here, and I don't know what I was missing. And then...
Well, then you thought, and you prayed about it, and I think you might have had a little bit of fasting in there. And then, well, you came home on a Saturday.
One Saturday in last summer is when I figured it out. I just like, it just, somebody had gave me a text or something, and then I looked up Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I looked up that word.
There's a word that we think we know what it means. And he looked into what that word actually meant.
Once I realized that word pass away, really what that word means is go by. Mm-hmm. So once I figured that out, I'm like, okay, I figured this out now. See, what I was thinking is there can only be one earth at a time. See, that's where most people are at right now. There could only be this earth, and when the new earth comes out, it's going to replace this earth. See, that's where everyone has got everything mixed up. That's where I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Because I'm thinking, oh, there can't be two earths.
Well, tandem earths is what people think, but it's in a different realm. It's not...
But see, I was thinking, like, no, wait a minute now. This earth is going to be destroyed, and it'll be the next earth that'll come around. But wait a minute now. That's not the way...
I think what a lot of people were thinking or their thought, my thought, was that we would see it come down. That we would see the new earth come down and we would know what was going to happen. Now, we've talked about this before, maybe not on a show, but that people have visions of what and how things should play out. And I think and we assume that it's because we have been in a culture of visual storytelling, visual ways of looking at scenarios on how things should play, and there should be a start, a middle, and an end. And so we're thinking that certain things are going to have to happen and culminate to an ending for all, you know, so eternity can start.
Well, I think everybody's thinking that history has to end at some point.
Right.
I think most Bible-believing Christians believe that when the Great White Throne Judgment happens, that's going to be the end of history, and it's going to be the beginning of eternity. So we're going from history as mortal beings to eternity in immortality, and that's it. Mm-hmm. This is kind of where most people are at. Once I see, and this is what my thinking was almost all my life. This idea that, okay, there's heaven and hell. The bad people are going to get thrown to hell and the good people are going to go to heaven. Or then I figured out it was not really heaven, it's new earth. But, you know, same thing. The idea, we're going to be a good place, but history will be like all over. That we're not going to be having to struggle through this world anymore. Once I figured out with this two-earth eschatology that no, that this world is going to remain and our reward is in after we endure to the end of this life, suddenly everything in the Bible kind of makes way more sense now, okay?
Well, it fell into place and you felt a great amount of peace.
Yeah, it's almost like now all these Bible prophecies that we couldn't explain before, oh, all these make sense now. And I have some shows coming this year. I'm going to go into, like, okay, wait a minute now. What about this Bible prophecy here about the Israel and Judah basically being reunited? And we're going to have a show about this explaining, yeah, it makes all the sense in the world now. They're going to get reunited. But most of the people think that hasn't happened yet. They think that, no, that's, even though Ezekiel wrote about that way back, you know, in the BC timeline, it hasn't happened yet. But what I'm saying is, no, it has happened. We just are misunderstanding. Once the two-earth eschatology was a game changer in the way that we understand how things will play out. And it, to me, it's a huge deception breaker. That's what it is. It's breaking the deceptions that have been going on in our lives.
That is crucial. You have to let go of the lies that you've been standing under, pressed under, that have held you down. You have to let go of them so you can be free to trust the scripture the way that God wants you to. I think so often we tie ourselves to things that we want to happen. But if you don't let go of that desire to have that happen, like you think that has to happen for you as a Christian or for this whole journey of your walk to mean anything. That's not what we don't have to see Jesus come again or the heaven come out of the sky to be fulfilled in our faith and our journey in the Lord. We can live this life rightly, obediently, full of joy, knowing who we believe in, knowing what we believe is the truth. And in that end moment, when we know we're going to be passing away from this world to the next,
right,
that we will have that confidence of what to kind of expect.
So the main difference is that I instead of people believing that when you die, you go straight to heaven. No, when you die, you go straight to new earth, new Jerusalem as a believer. Well, it's really what the Bible teaches, really.
Right.
But everybody has been so programmed to believe something different. And it's literally, the reason why I was getting things wrong is because I'm a student like everybody else, and when I come up with something, and God reveals something to me, and when I got revealed this two-earth idea, this what new way of thinking about everything, all of a sudden, it was almost like, I gotta record this right away. I was afraid I was gonna keel over and die, and then that idea would be lost forever, and I was like, okay, let me prep for a show. We gotta record this immediately. We gotta put this out. And then, of course, after we did that, we had to re-record a gob of shows.
Well,
we had a whole bunch of shows already pre-recorded.
That was a learning curve because, and that's the humility we talk about. You know, we had someone reach out to us a little while ago, and I think he was under the impression that we know it all and we're kind of like going back on what we know because we can't make up our mind or whatever. No, it's because we're also learning. So we have been in the church for quite a few years. We have been walking this faith journey. But as you know, as believers, we have a hard time letting go of things that we've been lied to about. But we want to cling, as much as you can think of in your own life, you want to hold on to the truth. You don't want to believe a lie. You really don't. Because you know that's not good for you. It's not healthy for your mind, your spirit, and your body. Because if you believe a lie, then it actually eats you from the inside. You can be sick, whatever. But if you believe the truth, then you're walking free in the truth. Your mind is clear. Your heart is at peace. It's beautiful how that all works. And so we were walking in truth, learning these things. And then having to go back and go, okay, let's correct this because we got it wrong. We, you know, had to retrace and say, you know, humbly say, I'm sorry for thinking it was this. God has revealed this truth to me, and I believe this is where we're at. And I think a lot of people have responded so well to that, that, you know, we are all learning. No one is perfect. No one has gotten it right. But God wants, that's how we know we're true students of the word, is that we're correctable. The Bible says that he chastens those that he loves. He reproves those he loves. Well, guess what? We're no different.
Yeah, now what I'm just finding is just little details. After I came up, and then the Great White Throne Judgment, where does that fit in the timeline? It kind of seems like if we're waiting for the Great White Throne Judgment, that doesn't make any sense, because then once I realized, and I had, that was the last thing that I had changed of my teachings, is I put that really close to 70 AD. I think the Great White Throne Judgment happened right in there, where Jesus says, I'll separate the sheep from the goats. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Now, that kind of sounds like a Great White Throne Judgment there. And that kind of makes sense. He separated the sheep and the goats, and so, yeah.
What got me was, wouldn't that be when everyone from the Old Testament would be reconciled to him?
Yeah, and of course, then all the other prophecies make sense about the Judah and Israel coming together, mm-hmm. reunification. All that happened right there. So everything then puts it to, it all culminated at the second coming of Christ in 70 AD.
Right.
Now we're living beyond that, and the good news now that we have, which is great news that we have now, is that all these biblical prophecies that people are worried about, famine, death, disease, starvation, tribulation, that's in our past now. Now we just got to navigate through deception.
Well, now we really have to equip ourselves with the armor of the Lord and the armor of God, because the enemy is seeking those who steal, kill, and destroy.
Well, I think he's just right now, I think the satanic forces, it's easy what they're doing. Right. They're just watering down all, making everybody lukewarm believers. This is what their goal is. And then they figured, hey, just make everybody lukewarm. And so there's no fire in anybody. There's no spiritual fire. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to wake up people's spiritual fire.
Right.
And I think that everyone started like living for God, then we would actually begin to really get something going for the Lord's work.
Well, I think what's happening, and I've seen in some people, that the cares of the world are choking out the seed that was planted.
But I'm seeing a revival right now.
Right.
I'm seeing people waking up, seeing the end of, the beginning of the end of all this, all these false teachings that we've all believed in, feminism for women, for one. I mean, this is a huge problem in our society that all of a sudden women have taken over everything, and there's no more male leadership anymore in the church and in the world and society. And this has got, this is one area among many that we have to wake people up. Yeah,
the attack on the family, attack on the husbands,
attack on
fathers,
on the children.
Yes,
children are getting attacked now.
Yes.
Women aren't wanting to have children anymore because it costs so much. We have to stop all this. We have to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And start changing things around, and believers need to do that. We wonder why nothing's changing, everything's going down. That's because believers need to change. It starts with us, folks.
Right.
Once us believers wake up and start living for God in the way that the Bible teaches,
right?
Oh, my word. There is no stopping us.
Well, standing on the firm truth of God's word is a great start, and it encourages others to do the same. And it's kind of a contagious thing in a spiritual manner to encourage others to know the truth of God's word and to walk in it.
Well, you know, we do live in a dark, deceptive age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we must be vigilant. We must be manly. See, manly, that's a godly trait there.
Right.
See, again, you're told in our society, don't be manly. No, the Bible tells us to be manly. Living everything by faith, doing everything out of love. Not only because it's biblical,
but because it glorifies our Father God in heaven.
Join or contact us at satanslittleseason.org. This is a non-copyrighted Living in Satan's Little Season production.